All in favor?
Aye.
All.
Aye.
Harper? I'm not. Yeah.
I'm not hearing a no. I'm not hearing a no from Harper.
Perfect. Since he's not here, he won't get his cut of the money, though. So.
Wow, just, you're brutal.
You were supposed to discuss that after we stopped recording.
Oh.
That's like what I'm editing. This isn't making the cut.
I'd like my comments stricken from the record.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'll make sure this is deleted from history. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah, so just prepare to. Y'all don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is May 1st, 2024, and this is episode 702. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials. This show, we're just going to discuss Game 5 of the Pacers-Bucks Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Joining me this show are two of our three analysts, still coast-to-coast, like buttered toast. First, from the high school home of Jameson Brewer, Silver Spring, Maryland, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to Second Chances.
Shout out.
Shout out.
From Asheville, North Carolina, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles. It's John, Army of None, Colson.
What is up, Undebeatables? What's up, Pacer Nation? We're here together. We're all in this together, guys. So it's a bad beat, but we'll talk about it and we'll feel better on the other end, ideally.
Before we get into the show, we'd like to remind listeners that we're offering a second chance to support us. If you didn't do it before, you have a chance right now. You head over to patreon.com/undebeatables and you can support us for as little as a dollar per month. Well, Colson, as you mentioned,
spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, hopefully we get the tags in the description of the episode, but Pacers did not win the closeout game 5 against Milwaukee on the road. This was Tuesday, April 30th. Pacers come up short 115-92. Had a good start to the game, and I mean, kind of before halftime, the Bucks just kind of ran away with it, and we were chatting in Slack kind of during the game, and this was more reminiscent of game one than anything else from the series once that switch was flipped, and the team did not look bright. They didn't look aggressive. They looked scared. They didn't know what to do. There was big runs by Milwaukee, who still is, they're without their two best players, Thanasis and Antetokounmpo. Giannis and Antetokounmpo, and Damian Lillard, who's out with the Achilles. I don't know if you guys have seen if there's any discussion about either or both of them coming back for Game 6. I hadn't seen anything new on that.
So I just checked. They're both doubtful but close. So
yeah.
It's possible that one or both will be available tomorrow, but doubtful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also gamemanship at this point. Like, you know what? One or both might show up. Who knows? It's the playoffs. You're not gonna tell the other team the guys are ready.
I mean, right. And there's actually been even more nonsense around that. Not with this in this series, but there's been around, particularly around the Clippers. There's been some of this not announcing, you know, announcing too late or misrepresenting who's going to be playing and that sort of stuff. So, but anyway, who knows? I don't care about really. I don't care until game time, until we see on the floor. But last night, the Bucks trot out Middleton, Portis, Lopez, Patrick Beverley, and Malik Beasley as their starting five, and they owned the game, at least in the second half. Middleton and Portis both had 29, Beasley had 18, and Beverley had 13 points and 13 assists, and several displays of that we were too small.
Yeah.
There was almost a mix-up, a scuffle. It ended up just being a technical foul with Obi Toppin and Beverly, who's just annoying and an instigator. But, you know, we gotta know what to do with that. On the Pacers side, yeah, I mean, the highest scorer was Tyrese Haliburton, who had 16 points and just 6 assists, which is, you know, nowhere near what we expect out of him. So, anyway, Pacers, really, second half, not that close. And, I don't know, Jason, what did you see from this game?
Well, I thought that, yeah, it was a case of playoff experience, right? Like, I don't think that the Pacers were ready for the back-against-the-wall level of effort that a team gives in an elimination game. You know, we talk about the playoffs and we talk about, obviously each round gets tougher, but really within a series, every game is the hardest game you've ever played, right? If it's your first time going through it, each game, the stakes get higher, right? And in this game, you have a prideful Milwaukee team that is facing elimination and they don't want that to happen. And they fought their butts off. And kudos to them, because we ran out to a 10-point lead in the first quarter. We couldn't miss from three-point range. It looked very similar to sort of down the stretch in game four. And, you know, you thought maybe this was just going to cruise. And I think that was, if anything, a bad thing for the Pacers, because they thought maybe they let their guard down a little bit. You know, the other thing that you learn as you go into the playoffs is that the referees, each game and each round, swallow the whistle a little bit more. And the Bucks knew that. The Bucks knew to come out and play physical and, you know, not let the Pacers do what they want to do. I mean, I was screaming at my television. You know, Pascal Siakam probably got fouled a grand total of 45 times in this game and got the whistle 3 times. and
then missed all his free throws.
And then missed all his free throws anyway, so it didn't really matter. Yeah. And the other thing, you know, is that the Pacers didn't play their game. There were the pace that we saw in games 3 and 4, really 2, 3, and 4, where it was off of makes or misses, getting the ball up the court in, you know, across half court in 2 seconds and attacking the rim and making things happen. That just wasn't there. There were multiple times that the Pacers got a stop and I was, you know, yelling at the screen, like, go, just go, go. And it was jog it up the court kind of thing. And that's not, you know, that's not how you're going to beat this team.
Yeah, no, before I forget, I'm going to make up the stat, but they flashed a stat on the screen that there hasn't been a team that put 3 games in a row with 32-plus assists since 1990 Spurs, and we had done that in games 2, 3, and 4. And so, like, it just shows you that, you know, the playoffs are tough, and they don't let you just pass that ball around, and it turns into slogging and defense and some ISO ball, And we had done something really special there by controlling the pace and playing our game. And I agree, this game was what the Bucks dictated. Kudos to Bobby Portis and to Patrick Beverley because, you know, Joe, you said that the last three, or the second half maybe wasn't great. I thought with about 3 minutes left, the Bucks imposed their will. They just started to take over. And yeah, we had a lead.
You mean of the first half?
Yeah, no, in the first quarter. Like we were up 10, and then they just started. Portis starts hitting shots, bullying. Patrick Beverley's just bullying. They just caught fire, and then the crowd got behind it. And that, you know, it's 8:30 at night there. It was a late start. I mean, that crowd was, you know, been drinking all day. They were lubed. They were ready to go, and it got rowdy in there real quick. And I don't think we were ready for it. We were like, oh, hey, cool. We're just passing the ball and having a good time, playing basketball. And then it turned into playoff basketball. And we weren't ready for the moment. And I was very frustrated until I'm glad, actually, that I've had 24 hours to process it, because I've been thinking about what it takes for a young team to learn what it is the playoffs are. We talk about playoff seasoning, you know, as you talked about, Jason, like each game gets harder. It's so frustrating to watch a young team just take their lumps. And that's what we did. We took our lumps in this game. They played harder. They got almost all the loose balls. And they had more timely shots, and we looked discombobulated. We weren't able to run our offense, and they did some different stuff. They were flashing doubles. They were switching. They were taking the ball out of Siakam's hands when he likes to, you know, go to the basket. He wasn't going to his, you know, lean back jumper for some reason. They were taking the ball out of Halliburton's hands, but they've been doing that all series. It just, you know, credit to their defense, but also, like, we let them dictate this game. And that's a sign of an immature team.
Yeah, the thing that really shocked me was, you know, as you mentioned, Joey, like, sort of by the end of the second quarter, for sure, it seemed like they were in, the Bucks were in control of that. And we were lucky to get into the break only down 5, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
The thing that frustrated me was the way that we came out of the locker room. You know, it's a young team. They get punched in the mouth. They learned what this level of playoff basketball is.
And you're only down 5.
So, and you're only down 5.
Yeah, on the road, getting punched in the mouth in an elimination game. Like, this is a chance.
Yeah, but then they didn't respond.
They did not at all. It looked all. Like worse.
Yeah, they looked worse in the third quarter. And there were no adjustments made, you know, by the coaching staff. It was kind of just the same thing. You know, but it was mostly sloppy play. Like, we came out and turned the ball over, basically, on the first 2 or 3 possessions of the third quarter. They quickly go on a 9-0 run, I think, or something like that. And all of a sudden, you're down by 14, and you're like, and the crowd is just going crazy. And those, I don't know if you picked this up on the home telecast, Joey, but there were these just very drunk Milwaukee fans yelling into the courtside
mic. Phone, essentially,
you could,
yeah,
like, hear them the entire time, mm-hmm, like, behind the regular announcers. Oh my god, just so annoying.
Yeah.
And so annoying because they were so right. Like, we would get a foul and they'd go to the line. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're gonna miss anyway. And then Siakam goes up there and misses both free throws. And, god, come on.
That's actually what I wanted to bring up, too, is, like, our free throw shooting is terrible.
We didn't get to the line that much, Joe.
Well, even when it doesn't, as I heard from some drunk Milwaukee fans, it doesn't matter, because even when we do go to the, we don't make them. We're shooting, like, 69%
yeah,
from the free throw line, and that's not nice, you know?
Nice.
No.
Well, no, and nice. Also, we it's were stuck nice. On 69 for, like, I don't know, at least 5 minutes of gameplay. That was, it was not nice.
No.
I wonder if there's a world in which some of those three pointers go down or whatever, and this, you know, this changes the complexity of the game, because, you know, they were going in early and then they stopped going in. We had some decent looks.
We were getting good looks.
Yeah,
I would say, but
like we were, and when we shared the ball, I mean, there was some just ball movement that was, you know, beautiful, and we got some open looks. We couldn't stop them at all, and you know, they were just bullying us in the lane. They seem bigger, even though we're a bigger team. And I felt like, you know, it was meeting the moment. So it's grabbing the offensive rebound or just a rebound at all, you know. And shout out to Ben Shepherd, the rookie, who I thought played some good minutes, who definitely got some floor burns. But also got punked by Middleton. Shout out to Isaiah Jackson, who Carlisle brought in because he had no plan, and I thought Jackson brought some good minutes with intensity and effort and got some tough boards, but, you know, too little too late. I wonder if he sees minutes in the next game, actually, because he kind of earned them in this one. Yeah, I thought Toppin had a pretty solid game. But I needed more from my stars, you know. I mean, I thought they took away Turner's three pointers, and so, you know, maybe in the second half he got angry and went into the lane a couple times and was successful, but he wasn't demanding the ball. I thought, you know, Halliburton was on the floor for 5 minute stretches where he wasn't even touching the ball. You know, I just didn't, you know, you mentioned Siakam not having success down low, like. There were mismatches, cross matches we were getting, and we weren't getting them the ball. Like, we just weren't playing Pacer basketball, and it was really frustrating.
No, and you know, we were over-reliant on the three-point shot. I mean, like, it's hard to say don't shoot those because we were moving the ball and getting good looks. But there were also possessions where it was like, all right, we need a bucket here just to stop the bleeding, you know?
Right.
And we don't have... I thought that Siakam was our secret weapon.
He is that. He's supposed to be that.
But he was unable to do that in this game, either because of how the Bucks were defending him or, you know, his shot has been off basically since games one and two. Like, his, I don't know what his shooting percentages are, but it just looks off. Like, that elbow jumper just is not as buttery as it used to be. There was a moment where Halliburton sort of sensed it and got into the lane and got a nice layup, but you know, overall, like you said, Colson, there were way too long of stretches where you were unaware of the impact of Tyrese Halliburton on this game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, and he was on the floor. You know, it wasn't like he was on the bench. I was like, we got to bring Halliburton back in, and you're like, oh shit, he's the fifth guy on the floor and he hasn't touched the ball. You know, you bring in McConnell. And, you know, I thought he sensed the moment and he was pressing way too much. He got a couple of, you know, little bunnies in the lane like he tends to, but he also turned the ball over a couple times, you know, at critical moments too. And, you know, right when you're only down nine and there's still a chance to bring this thing back together. I mean, I think he coughed the ball up like two or three times in a row. You got some timely three pointers from Malik Beasley, you know, and it's like, you can't let role players be wide open because they will hit shots. You know, you just can't do it. Yeah, I thought we looked unable to figure out how to play them defensively, which is frustrating. I know we've never been a good defensive squad, but, like, they seem to have us, you know, they could kind of do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to be able to slow a team down when they don't have their two best players. No, I know that's what I'm saying. That's just the fatal flaw with this team, right? Is there's, you know, Barkley after the game was saying, like, you know, these guys just have a crap ton of bad habits and, you know, a sense that it's not an important thing. And so it just leads to just layup lines. Yeah. Which is super duper frustrating.
Or Bobby Portis going for 29 points, right? Like,
Right.
I mean, he came with the intensity, and you know, I think I gave him a shout out earlier in this pod, but like he got ejected from game four, and he watched the game from the locker room. He said he didn't even take off his jersey, he didn't take off his sneakers. He watched it, and he said, "I can make a difference in this game, and I've made a mistake. I've let my team down." Apparently, he went to the team before the game, and he said, "I'm not going to let you guys down this game." And credit to him. I mean, he's a dog. He's a player, you know? I mean, he and Patrick Beverley, and credit to Chris Middleton, who, you know, is a really nice professional basketball player who's really good at his job. These guys just came out, and they were just more professional. They were more prepared. They brought a different energy, and we couldn't handle any of them.
So how do we solve this in game six? Back in the friendly confines.
I mean, I think that it's the energy and effort. You know, I just didn't get that sense of, like you said, Jason, I and like Chuck said, you didn't get that sense of urgency. And yeah, this is the first time that most of these guys have been on this, or I guess on either side of an elimination game. And yeah, we weren't ready. You know, similarly in game one, where we weren't ready to play a playoff game,
right.
We weren't ready to eliminate another team, and especially on their home court. And so, you know, what we want, you know, what I'm hoping for is essentially the same response that we had in game two or game three, which was play your style, play your game, and work your butts off. You know, get all the because we had games where we were out rebounding, and you know, long possession. No, but and we got stomped. So offensive, you know, Halliburton had like 5 O boards in game four, and we didn't see anything like that in game five. So we're gonna need things like that, and you got to get the crowd into it, which is the easiest way to do it is. Energy and effort plays, three-pointers, and lobs to Obi Toppin.
Right, I was going to say Obi Toppin dunks is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
No, I do think that, you know, us stealing home court, you know, in game two is the path for us winning this series. There is a chance that Dame Lillard comes back or Giannis comes back, but... being at home, we're a young team. We're going to be more comfortable. I think we play our style. They can't keep up. They play basically like 6 guys. We should be able to run them ragged.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Is it? It's like a running game in football. Like even if it's like early on, you're only getting 3 yards at a chunk or something like that. Like you're going to wear the other team down.
Mm-hmm.
Like these guys do not want to run. They don't want to sprint back on defense the entire game. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they do want to, but their bodies don't want to, right? Like,
yeah.
And it will show in the fourth quarter. Like, even if it's not having success early, like just keep going. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because I also in this last game noticed we sort of that the killer instinct. Where we would like they would make a basket as they did often, and we would usually pick the ball right up and just start chugging down the court. But I don't think that there was enough times where it just didn't work or we didn't make maybe the ideal pass, and we ended up in a half court anyway, and where we didn't get to exercise that advantage of just the running, you know. So I mean. There's a difference between like Nembhard running all day and Middleton, you know, and Lopez. Like those guys are older and slower. And
yeah, I felt like there was a little bit of emotional damage on some of those things, right? Like we just at some point you're like, oh man, they just keep hitting shots and we're missing ours and we're just gonna stop running. Like we didn't give up, but we weren't bringing the same force and we weren't bringing the same energy. And at some point that just wears you down over, you know, 48 minutes. And, you know, I thought we made a decent run early third, you know, after they came, we just didn't, early we didn't fourth. Meet them at,
yeah.
We didn't meet them at the moment. out of halftime, for sure. Like, that was where I was like, we're only down five. We got punched in the mouth. Now we're going to come out. We're going to make some adjustments. We're going to be ready. And we weren't. And they just jumped all over us. And we got it back within nine or whatever. And I thought, okay, here's our time. And, you know, we missed some chippies. We missed some free throws. We missed some rebounds. And then we just sort of, you know, we're like, okay, I guess this thing's over. I don't know. I'm not saying we gave up, but, you know, when you're getting your beat, when you're getting your ass kicked, you're getting your ass kicked, right?
I mean, we gave up on playing our brand of basketball, that's for sure. Right?
Yeah.
We lost faith in that.
Which is what got us here, though, right? I mean,
that's another sign of a young team, an inexperienced team.
That's what Miles Turner said after the game. He said, we gave up on Pacer style basketball, and that's what got us here. And so we'll go back, and we're going to play that style next game in front of a whole crowd, and we're going to win this game. Don't worry about it. Essentially, is what he said. Nice. I'm glad he's confident. Because they took us out of what we do, and there's a reason they won a championship a few years ago. They're really good. They know what they're doing. And even though they're without their best two players, Middleton and Lopez and, you know, Beverly and Portis, these guys have been through the wars before, and they looked like that last night, and we did not.
For sure. All right, well, one guaranteed game on the slate. Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. tip.
Mm.
Very early start for the folks in Indiana. Not a 5:30, so that's good. What are you guys predicting?
We're going to sweep that game.
Okay. Cool.
I'm very nervous.
It's a gold out, John.
Look, I know
gold
that...
out.
I know that being home is going to make a difference for a young team. And like I said, it's great that we have home court at this point. I'm concerned the way that we respond. You said this, Joe, that that game one, we didn't look like we knew what the playoffs in Tennessee was going to look like. And then game five, we didn't know what the closeout intensity was going to look like. I don't know if we're ready for this moment. I feel like we're too young. I'm really nervous now. What I want for this team is for us to get more seasoning in the second round. I really want to win this series. And you should against a team without their best players. But, man, we looked really young and fragile in this last game, so I'm nervous. But if we don't win it on Thursday, I think the series is over. I don't think we're winning it in Milwaukee. At least the way that we played last night. So,
well, if we play like we did last night, we're not winning any games. But
all right,
I'm excited. I mean,
give us a 60% chance of winning this game. Then I'm gonna give you 60%.
I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's your Pacer fan. Of course, you're nervous. I'm excited to see how these guys bounce back. I want to see, you know, the face of my franchise, Tyrese Haliburton. How is he going to respond to this? How is Pascal Siakam, how is Miles Turner going to do it? I mean, you know, like, role players are role players, but, like, we know from decades of watching NBA basketball that it's your superstars that win you series, right?
Yeah, a role player and can so we gotta have a series with one game, but it's the it's your main guys that win the series.
Yeah, our top line guys, Haliburton, Siakam, Turner, gotta bring it, you know? Yeah. Gotta bring it. So I give us a 75% chance to win this game.
What if...
if Lillard plays, if I Lillard give us a 0.0 chance to win this game.
Oh, really? You think Lillard's going to blow up for 40 and just
he
take
scares
this away
me.
From us? Well, he should scare you. He's ended a lot of series in his illustrious career.
Yep.
Well, team, we will get back with you after game six, hopefully with good news. Until then, you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter at Undebeatables. or on facebook.com/theunbeatables. Our website is theunbeatables.com. There's also a contact form there. You can use that to send us a message and email. Shout out at theunbeatables.com. And at the website /store is where this medium t-shirts live.
For the architect Donnie Walsh and our once and always Hall of Fame coach Bobby Sicklendard, turn out the lights. The party's over. How concerned are you about the back spasms for Halliburton? Do you think that's part of the problem? I mean, he was wearing a big brace, and he was like,
"Not part of the solution."
He said it's not an issue, but it's clearly an issue.
I think with that belt that he wears when he's on the bench, I think he looks like a championship fighter. So
I think he was like holding a pole, like to like work his back out. It was weird in the tunnel. Like this doesn't seem great. I know he's not an excuse guy because he's, you know, he's a good dude, but man, I'm a little worried that he's not completely right.
Yeah, I mean, there was that, like, he actually came out of the gates pretty good and then cooled off thereafter, as did the rest of the team. So it's hard to say if it was injury or insult that
sure
did that to him.
Just go to the basket, everybody. Just go to the basket.
Just go to the basket.
We can't lose. We can't lose this, Joe. We can't lose this. Up 3-1. Ugh. I don't wanna lose it.
Let's not do it.